Welcome back, comedy fans. It's an all-new comedy at the Carlson Cast. Get more information and subscribe at carlsoncast.com. Today's episode, we're joined by Rochester's own, our favorite, Mike Dambra. Today's episode is, of course, brought to you by Three Heads Brewing, makers of Rochester's favorite beer. Remember, do good things, always be kind, and drink responsibly. Now here's your host. He's the man with the plan. It's not a great plan. Probably not going to work out all that well. It's Vinny Paulino.
Sorry, I'm just over here marking Ross out of my plan. Good morning, everybody. It's another episode of Carlson Cast.
He was step three.
Joining me in studio, as always, is dumb Brian. Hey, Brian Ball.
Hello, how you doing?
Say hi to Brian, everybody. There he is. Wave at the people, Brian. Isn't this exciting? Some people are listening live. Some people are watching us now on Facebook Live. For those of you who are tuning in on Facebook Live, good morning. Don't forget, you can text the show right now, 484-0265. If you have questions for Mike Dambra, who will be joining us in the studio any minute now. Well, actually, not any minute now.
In 17 minutes. Yeah. Several minutes, yeah.
Also joining me in studio is my pal, Ross Johnson.
Hello.
Our fancy newsman.
Ready for the dumbest heist ever. Here we go. Gonna steal some Cokes out of the vending machine.
That's my plan. My plan is always about getting Coca-Colas. Yep. So we have some interesting things happening that I need to discuss with all of you watching at home today. The funniest person in Rochester Contest 2021 is going to be starting in the week of June 24th. So our preliminary rounds are going to be June 24th through the 26th. We're packing in a lot in 3 days. There is still time to sign up, folks. We have a $1,000 cash prize to the first place winner. You could win paid work at the club. If you'd like to sign up, all you have to do is visit carlsoncast.com. Look for the banner at the top. Click on it. Read all the information. Know what you're signing up for before you do. And then sign on up, because the deadline to get in on this is midnight on Sunday.
And you could be a thousandaire.
A thousand air!
A thousand air! If you can survive Comedy Thunderdome!
I'll tell you what, it really is kind of like Comedy Thunderdome, and I feel like the prize should be bigger if it was an actual Thunderdome. But since it's not, it's like one, it's $1,000 cash prize to the winner.
Could we make a cage?
I've pitched a combat round several times, and sure. You keep saying no.
I told you, yeah, as long as you go first.
Right.
And we're picking your opponent.
Oh, that's not good. You'll get Brock Lesnar.
You're getting Shoeless Joe.
Oh, yeah. I think Shoeless Joe would crush me.
I do, too.
I'm not going to lie.
I think Shoeless Joe would crush a lot of people, actually.
I don't think he feels pain.
He's scrappy.
Now, I really am excited about this show this year. I'm kind of sad. I'm excited. But what I'm sad about is I'm stepping down as the host.
Oh, the end of an era.
The end of an era.
It was a mediocre era, but it's the end of that era.
Some would say terrible, but still, we're sad.
It's shockingly hard to do all the things you need to do to make sure that this contest runs smoothly and MC the show at the same time.
This is going to sound like I'm being a dick, but I'm not. It's so much counting.
It's not just
so much counting.
It's we have over 75 people entered so far. Mm-hmm. So it's keeping track of all the contestants. Yeah. It's keeping track of the timers. It's keeping track of the judges, making sure they're on the same part. And I'm just happy to say that I did find a good replacement.
Somebody with Excel.
Someone with an Excel spreadsheet.
He put out a Craigslist ad for Excel experience.
Does anyone have Excel?
I need someone with a Microsoft Office password. You could be the new host of the 2021 Funniest Person in Rochester Contest. All you have to do is have access to the Adobe Creative Suite.
Yeah. Oh,
you're in.
Awesome.
Just kidding. I picked somebody who's really, really good. Because I'm trying not to pick a comic. I don't want to pick somebody that everybody knows, because then it makes it like weird for the comics who are in it.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I am going to, we're going to take a break. We're going to tell you about the shows that are coming up here at the Comedy the Carlson Cast over the next couple of weeks. We added some big new ones.
Very exciting new ones.
So Brian's going to tell us all about those in a minute. And when we come back, I will announce who this year's host is. Stay tuned.
Some great shows come up for you here at Comedy at the Carlson. Check out our schedule at carlsoncomedy.com this very weekend. Local guy Mike Dambra is back in town. And the wonderful Jackie Fabulous is coming on June 10th through the 12th. Tickets are selling really fast for that one. Stavros Helkias, June 17th through the 19th.
and Rachel Feinstein, July 8th through the 10th. And The Sorcerer Sky Sand will be returning July 15th through the 17th. With Preacher Lawson on July 22nd through the 24th. Those sell out really, really, really quick. And at Shane Gillis, August 5th through the 7th. And Jeff Allen, One Night Only on August 9th. And September 9th through the 11th, the Uncle Louie Variety Show will be here. And our lighting designer, Tom Green, will be back September 17th and the 18th. And Vic DiBattetto on September 30th through October 2nd. With the hilarious Harlan Williams on October 8th and 9th. Followed by one of my personal favorites, Mark Norman, on October 14th through the 16th. Pete Corelli will be here October 28th through the 30th. And for one night only, Dr. Dirty John Valby will be back on November 24th. Earl David Reed will be here November 26th and 27th. With Mike Young December 2nd through the 4th. And Michael Rappaport wrapping out the year December 9th through the 11th. Again, if you need tickets, visit carlsoncounty.com or call 585-4-COMBI. We will see you at the show.
All right, everybody. The wait is over. Here he is, the host of the 2021 Funniest Person in Rochester Contest. The man, the legend, it's Billy Maranimal Moran.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm excited about this. You had me judge in the past.
Yeah.
And the talent level in this town is unbelievable.
It is. It is. It's really bad. I'm just kidding. It's great. I'm just kidding. I had to go for the joke.
I was really impressed. There's some really polished comics out there. And I think this is a great contest. And you do it every year. And I know you put your heart and soul in it. You know, it's the love of comedy from you. But I think I'm excited to be part of this.
Well, you have some mighty big jeans to fill. I'm just going to say that. But Billy, here's the thing. I got to ask you. You've been working in radio for at least, what, 20-something years now?
32.
Okay. 32 years.
Started when I was 12.
You started? Okay.
No, I started when I was 19.
Okay. So you start off in this world of broadcasting, which is a very hard nut to crack to get anywhere in it. Now you have a show every day, Radio 95.1. You're on in the afternoons. You've got it all made. Why are you doing stand-up? What is it about stand-up that draws you in, buddy?
You want to know what I love about stand-up? To me, it is the absolute purest form of art. Because it is just you and a microphone. There's no other actor to save you. There's no band to cover up if you miss a lyric, if you flub. There's nobody that can do a drum solo so you can get a break. It is you and a microphone, and that's it. To me, it is the razor's edge of live performance, and I absolutely love that.
See,
and that's kind of one of the things I love.
I'm with you, man. I'm totally with you. That's one of the things that a lot of people just kind of look past because so many good comics make it look easy. Yeah. But you are always, when you decide to, you know, when you're used to talking behind a microphone to a radio audience, and then you walk into a room where you actually have to look everybody in the eye as you're talking to them and everything, it's got to be a very different vibe for you.
It's a way different vibe. I mean, there's always been that philosophy of if you could put a face to what you're saying, if you're talking about somebody, would you say it to their face? It's the same thing with comedy. I mean, if you're going to, you know, bust somebody, or if there's somebody who's going to heckle you, are you willing to go back at them? To me, it is the greatest. And honestly, I think it is the truest form of art because it's just be out there by themselves. And it is a big difference. You're right, because you get to hide behind a microphone. I mean, that's one of the things that appealed to me early on for whatever bizarre, screwed up reasons in my own life, that I could be somebody else. I didn't have to be me. Now, as time has gone on, I realized the best thing to be is authentic. But in the beginning, I could be somebody else. I didn't have to exactly be me. It could be a cooler version of who I thought I was.
You get to, well, it's the same thing with stand up. You could have an alter ego character. You could kind of be.
Even Dice, you know, eventually abandoned that.
Yeah, true. I'm saying is that, like, you know, it is a performance. Who you are as a character on the radio, or who you are, or what you've developed as a person. I guess what my question for you is, Billy, you've been doing stand up for so long and you've just continued to keep plugging away at it. And I know it can't be your main focus because you're a guy who's, you know, so busy with doing the radio every day. but you really do work so hard to it. What is it that keeps you coming back? It's got to be the love of the pure art, right?
It is the love of the pure art. I hadn't done it in a really, really long time.
I just watched you like a couple weeks ago. Stop it.
Prior to that, I'm just saying prior to that, I hadn't done it in a real long time. Prior to that, it was when Jamie Lissau was at the club. I asked if I could do a guest set, and that was right before the pandemic. But prior to doing that in front of Jamie, it had been years, only because I didn't have the time. I had young kids at home. I had all that. And now I'm going through what they refer to politely as a life transformation. So I have more time by myself. You know what I mean?
And we all get to reap the benefits of that.
So I love doing it. I love, to me, that it's more fun. And look, you know what? I'm not risking a whole lot. I'm going up there in a club where people are familiar with my name, even if they don't know me, because I've been on the radio here so long. So you almost get a few extra points, so to speak, when you walk up there. And I'm emceeing. What am I doing? 10 minutes. And I love it. And yeah. I do love it.
What's going to be really cool is to be able to watch you do this MC thing. And you're just going to get better and better at it because you're really good. Like, you really are a good MC. I watched the shows you did with Earl a few weeks ago. They were fantastic. So I'm excited to see what you do because it's a little bit of a different vibe when you're MCing an open mic thing. So you've thought this through, because I know I had to call you the other night and say, Bill, I want you to come and do this. I think you're the perfect choice. You had to go through it. You've told me a bunch of times that you're looking forward to it. What part of it are you looking forward to the most?
You know what I'm looking forward to, honestly, seeing some of the other talent.
Okay.
Some other people get up there and tell their story, live their jokes out on stage and see how the audience reacts to that. Because, again, it's not a proven thing. And so somebody's going to get up there and they want it's a drive. You know, what drives us? What drives you to go and do this? And I think it's the exposure and the stage time. There's something in it. We're all a little crazy.
Absolutely.
And I think it's awesome. So that honestly is what I'm looking forward to most. I haven't really thought about my part in this. Maybe I should have a little bit more. But I figured, you know, I mean, even if I screwed up, they're not really there to see me. They're there to see all these great comics that are coming out to be Rochester's.
Oh, stop it. You're being modest. Billy, I think you're going to kill it. And I think the audience is in for a treat with you this year. So I really do appreciate you agreeing to do it.
Yeah, man.
Like I said, you were my first choice.
Well, God, that's the first time that's ever happened. Even 20 years of marriage, I don't think I was the first choice.
Yeah, that's what you told me a bunch of times. That's nice to see you, Billy.
No, it's nice to see you as well. What is that? Is that a Care Bear?
It is a Care Bear.
Oh, look at
it's
you.
Grumpy Bear.
Okay.
You've known me a while. I think this kind of suits me a little bit. It was a gift.
And everything. Just in case. Think of it, you could sell it for probably lots more on eBay.
Listen, wonderful. You think they're going to keep me around this building that much longer?
I have no idea.
All this stuff's going on eBay, kids. You want to you want a Batman riding a shark, anybody? Call me up. Make an offer. We'll do it.
All right. Very nice.
Oh,
very
nice. I'd be a silly boy today. I got to tell you, man, Billy's going to be here. Now, there are only a few days left to sign up. The sign-ups close this Sunday night at midnight. So if you want to be a part of this contest, if you want a shot at $1,000 cash, and you want to impress the great Bill Moran, you got to get to carlsoncast.com and sign up.
All right, that's easy. carlsoncast.com. Sign up. That $1,000 could be yours.
It could be yours.
And you're getting some exposure. And who knows what could happen from there?
Who knows? You know, a lot of people who started off in this contest didn't even win it. Have become paid regulars here at the club just because by virtue of the club being able to see their acts and be able to see what they're working with and the talent level of what they're going to develop into. We like to make those investments in people because it's a hard business. And when we see people that are talented, we want to help you grow. So this is a good tool for that as well.
Well, one of the things to anybody is if there's an opportunity and it's what you want to do, take the opportunity, right? Grab that opportunity while you can. And this is an opportunity if you want to be a stand-up comic.
It's not a bad piece of advice. Grab the tiger, kids. Hold on tight.
It's very good.
All right, Billy. I will see you soon.
You didn't know this was going to turn into a little bit of a motivational speech at the end.
I'm not getting out of my couch. You know, You know what I'm looking forward to? I'm looking forward to being in the back of the room this year, getting to watch the show. I have not gotten to watch one of these ever. I've always been running up and down, running around like a chicken with my head cut off, trying to run the show. This year, I get to watch a polished, great MC perform, a lot of great acts perform, and I don't have to be completely stressed out. So I am pumped for this year's contest.
You know, I think you lost 10 pounds last year. Be careful.
I'm going to put 11 on this year.
All right.
Later, Billy.
Bye.
Billy Moran, ladies and gentlemen, I got to tell you, I'm really excited about it this year, Brian. This is going to be very cool.
I think it's an excellent choice.
Thank you for sitting there quietly during the interview and letting the grown-ups talk.
You're welcome.
Now, back to the kids' table. Joining us in studio this weekend, he is our headliner. This guy is one of our, not only one of our favorite guests on the show, one of our favorite people on the show, off the show.
One of the city's favorite people.
No, no, that is not accurate. One of our favorite people. It's Mike Dambra, ladies and gentlemen. Brian, clap for Mike Dambra.
I'm clapping. Jesus.
Harder.
See, I wore this just for Vinny.
I love that shirt.
Just for
You're
Vinny.
Wearing a Chris Benoit shirt on my show. What is wrong with you?
I live in Edmonton.
There's probably a lot of Benoit merchandise floating around.
Did they not get the news up in Edmonton?
They got the news.
About the thing?
His son's there, and his son, all you have to do is say hello, and his son starts with the stories. My dad, it was the greatest, and my dad, this, and he starts, so.
You see the son around?
All the time. Yeah.
Chris Benoit's son.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know, one did survive. Is that a terrible thing to say? Chris Benoit, double murder. Terrible situation.
Yes.
I thought he had two older ones. I thought he had a daughter.
He had one son and then a wife, and they passed away, and then he hung himself.
Yes.
And then this is his oldest son.
His oldest son,
was with a different woman, and he's fine, and he's trying to, wrestle Chris Benoit.
Fine.
Okay.
He's not fine. I wouldn't say
Let's not talk about the victim of this kid. What are we doing here? This is a comedy show.
He's okay.
So we have another kid who was okay with everything that happened, and everything was fine.
Why are you trying to rabbit trail me? I want to talk about stand-up comedy today.
Sorry.
This guy walks in with a Radicals wrestling shirt, and he knows to talk my language.
I have to do it for you. I have to.
Oh, buddy. I love you. So listen, folks, you can text your questions for Mike in right now, 585-484-0265. I got the screen right in front of me, so if you want to ask Mike a question, feel free to do that. I want to welcome you back and tell you how awesome it was to watch your show last night.
Oh, thanks, man.
Dude, I was in the back howling. And you said this was your first time on stage, in front of a live audience in a while.
October.
Couldn't tell. Could not tell at all. You slayed.
Oh, thanks, man.
You slayed.
It's a weird feeling, but, I talked to a comic from Cleveland last night. He was playing a club in Michigan. One night stands, and he said, it's just like this cleansing. You feel that first pop, and it just washes over you, and you're back home. It was weird. So
now, you have a great MC with you this weekend, too.
Yeah,
our Wheels. Buddy Wheels Maxwell.
That's right.
Hey, Wheels, hope you're watching, buddy. Great job last night, too. So Wheels is going to be there.
Yep.
We got, this is what I like about this show. We're building it like a hammock. We got this strong opener, this strong finisher,
here
and then the middle.
Here we go. I knew this was coming, right?
I'm just kidding, folks. Brian is our feature act this weekend, and you're going to love him. If you've never seen Brian, you got to come out.
Because before lockdown, we had you when I was supposed to be here, and then we canceled, and I said, Mark, this is the perfect opportunity to
bail
bump
Vinny.
Let's get somebody
Let's
else.
Let's get Brian in.
Give me the talent on the Carlton cast.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
There you go. Yeah.
I'm not mad at you.
I'm glad someone appreciates me.
That's right. Damn it. I'm glad to have you there.
Now, Mike.
Yeah.
When did you get into town?
We got in Monday, Memorial Day, early morning Monday.
So everything's still in this strange transition right now, especially, obviously you said you live in Edmonton. We have this very strict protocol about crossing the border.
Oh, it's crazy.
Yeah, how far did you have to swim across Lake Ontario to get in?
We were told what border to cross, and then we had to – the rules were changing every week. So every week you'd talk to a higher-ranked official at the border. We finally got to the chief, and he said I could come, but Gracie couldn't come. But I said, well, the rules are in Canada, we're not allowed visitors at our house. So – she'd be on her own. She's 11. He goes, well, that's a Canada thing, not my problem. That's what he said.
And I'm proud to be an American.
Yeah. So we had to call the embassy, and then we had to call a lawyer and get a letter from a lawyer saying why we're coming and that I was her sole guardian. and I had full custody, and then I had to bring the custody order with me.
Yeah, because honestly, not for nothing, you pulling up to the border with an adorable child.
They always.
This question.
Roll down the back window, and they ask her questions every time.
Yep.
This is your father, right, Grace? They ask her every time.
They don't say it like that. It's like, who is this man to you, little girl?
Yeah, and why is he blinking in Morse code?
Right. I really hope Gracie, one of these days, as she gets older and funnier, just throws you right under the bus.
Bro, she made more money than me during lockdown. She started that painting page. And she donates half the money to the Children's Hospital in Edmonton.
Still made more than you.
Still made more than me, and then got an award from the hospital in April. She got nominated. There were 50 people up for it.
Aw, Gracie. We love her so much more than you.
I know. Everybody, Wheeze, when I did Wheeze yesterday, he goes, bro, just so you know, every other comment coming up here says, where's Gracie? Where's Gracie? I go, it's a phone interview. What do you want me to do? But, yeah.
So, I got to ask you. You're down here now.
Yeah.
You've been up there. The rules in Canada for what you can say and can't say on stage are a little bit different than they are here. Is that accurate?
It depends what city you're playing or what you're doing. But
really?
Yeah, yeah.
It's by city.
Yeah. Well, I'd say by province. Because Alberta, where I live, yeah, Alberta is pretty balls to the wall. There aren't a lot
of. You
can
do whatever you want to do. That's the only province that would have you.
No, I play them all. Saskatchewan's pretty crazy, too.
Okay.
But, like, Montreal's pretty uptight. Quebec's uptight.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm hearing. Like, they have the Montreal Comedy Festival.
Yes.
Where they have some of the greatest performers in the world who are not necessarily super clean.
And have to rank them, like, dirty show or, you know, all-out show or, you know, they have to label it.
I guess my question is, like, do you feel like when you get back to the States that maybe you let your hair down a little bit?
No, I never changed.
Really?
Yeah. I've never changed.
Let's talk about that.
Even when I was getting when I started getting corporates in Alberta and they said we're going to put you out there for corporates, they said we're going to advertise you a different way. We're going to say this is the guy that shouldn't be doing corporates. Bring him to your corporate. So I'd get the ones like the oil companies or the hockey fundraisers, you know, where these guys had been drinking since noon or and they'd say, just do what you want. Like, we don't want somebody in a suit and
Canadian
tie.
Canadian hockey fundraiser sounds like a good gig.
It's the greatest. It's
like
so much
crowd.
Fun. Yeah, so much fun. And I started getting them all those, because I was the only one tapping that market. There's other guys.
That's
now,
quite brilliant, the reverse psychology angle on this.
Take the guy that wouldn't
you
normally
really
do it.
Are going to end up talking to HR if you do this, but you should do it anyway.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I've got one when we
did that
here.
Ever backfire? Did you ever go to a corporate and
not in Canada? No,
thank God.
The States.
What happened in the States?
North Dakota. They sent me to one. They said, and it said in the contract, you can't swear or you won't get paid. Okay, and I'm clean. I'm being as clean as possible, and I'm doing it. And this old guy stands up. He goes, "Will you just swear? Tell a dirty joke, please." I go, "Sir, I can't. It's in my contract." He goes, "Look, I'm one of the higher up guys here, and I'm telling you right." And everybody claps, applauds. Not crazy, but polite applause. Mm-hmm. Just tell us a joke. And I tell a joke, and he goes, "And fuck you, you're not getting paid now." And they walk me off the stage, and they didn't pay me.
Holy shit.
They set you up.
Yeah, that's a true story.
They just didn't want to pay.
They set you right up.
Yeah, that's a true story.
How'd you fall for that?
I was newer. That was one of my first corporates.
Did everybody laugh at you when they did that?
No. Like, that turn away, like, we got you, but that shameful, we got you. But the booker had me in his office and went, "Why would you?" And I go, "This guy," he goes, "Yeah, he's one of the vice presidents." I go,
"Yeah, he doesn't want to pay you. He's trying to..."
I says, "But you're the booker." I did. It was literally, I had done 35 out of 40 minutes, and they didn't pay me.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Jeez.
So that was I'm pretty sure that was my... When my eyes open, I'm like, I'm never backing down. I'm just doing what I do. So,
well, you've always been that way.
Yeah.
You don't really care what you say, I don't think.
No.
It makes for a very refreshingly entertaining show. And I feel like in 2021, a lot of people have their guard up.
Big time.
And if you're coming to the show this weekend... Don't worry about it. Just come in and laugh.
Just come and have fun.
And luckily, though, you're a good guy, so it's still funny. If you were a shitty person and had the same lack of filter that you do,
yeah, I think
you'd be a problem.
I'd be dead.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I'd be dead.
Yeah.
I would be dead.
I would go with that.
Yeah.
A couple of husbands would have murdered you by now.
Oh, yeah. I'd be dead. I remember because when I first started taking Gracie to school, nobody knew, right?
Right.
I put on the hat and the heavy jacket in the wintertime. Nobody knew. And then I was doing a festival. And they said, somebody's here to see you. And it was Grace's assistant principal. And she goes, we didn't know you did this. We want to see the show. And I go, no, you don't. No, you need to, you got to go now, like now. And I did the show. And she hugged me. And she goes, oh, my God, I loved it. And then the next morning,
thing you know, the state showed up.
I go to take her to school the next morning. They part like the Red Sea, like all these parents and teachers. They had all been talking about it in the hallway. And they had no idea.
That's wild.
They had no idea.
Now, when you're trying to keep those worlds separate, and then all of a sudden they collide, and you're Mike D'Ambra. And I don't know if that makes, like, the best recipe.
It does, you know what? We were just talking about it the other day. She had a teacher that was in her face yelling all the time, and she doesn't do good with that because of what she went through with her mother.
Sure.
So I had a meeting with the teacher, and I was being Mike. And I said, well, why don't we get a third party in because we don't seem to agree, and let's figure this out. We'll get the principal or somebody. And I stood up to go to the office, and I was walking away, and she goes, I don't think I like your attitude. And I turned from Mike into D'Ambra as I turned around. And I just went, I don't think I like your fucking attitude. And then she had her hands up. You need to leave the school now. Yeah, so it's been interesting.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, but that's what I was thinking. Like, you have that lack of filter can be weaponized, I think. But you don't. It's still like it all comes from a good place, and it's not like – I've never watched anything you've said that some people would consider offensive and been like, oh.
Allow me to quote another great Rochester legend, the great Joe Lindley. They're just jokes, people.
That's yeah. Right.
They're just jokes, people.
It's just having fun. I think if I was really nasty,
yeah.
But I'm laughing along with people some yeah. of the times because some of the things that come out of my mouth in my head, I'm like, bro, don't.
Yeah, you're a problem. You really are a problem, but in the best possible way. There are some tickets left. I believe the early Saturday show is like almost sold out. So if you want to get into the late show, get on it now, carlsoncomedy.com. There are tickets for tonight still available. Grab a date.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Grab your grandma, Michael Lover.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll dance and do tequila.
Now, I got a question came in from our buddy Kevin Willard. He wants to know, when you started doing stand-up, did you always think you were going to do it for a living? Or... were you like doing it for a while, for a couple of years before you realized that was a possibility for you?
No, that was I had a warehouse job, and I was in the contest at Yuck Yucks, their first funniest person contest.
Yeah.
And I won third place, went to Buffalo to open for Norm MacDonald before he was famous. They said, if you want to go on tour, we'll send you to Western Canada, but it's 12 weeks. And that was a Saturday, and on Monday I walked into my warehouse job. I go, I'm going to do comedy for a living, and I walked out, and that was 36 years ago.
There's your answer, wow. Kevin. The world was very different.
It was. It really was. Yeah. It really was. I went into my first open mic night, and Eric Nussbaum was the manager of Yuck Yucks. He takes me into the box office and starts screaming at me, what did you say to Norm MacDonald? What did you say to his manager? I go, I don't know what you're talking about. And he pushed over this contract like this thick with all the, you know, gig sheets and everything.
Yeah.
And he goes, you leave in 3 months. He says, so you'll be every other weekend, you'll open for the people here. I want you to learn from them. You'll be doing spots. You'll get $15 a spot. So my first week was Richard Jenny. My second week was Richard Belzer. And I think my third week was like Jimmy J.J. Walker or something like that. And he says, you pick up what you can from these guys because you're going on tour and you have to do a half an hour.
Well, this is really interesting. So you have the opportunity to do this half hour. You have a very rare gift. People, you know, obviously you're on stage, you're just starting out, and good. You're at a level where professional people are like, this guy's worth a damn, get him on the stage, let's do this. That doesn't happen, Mike, you realize that, right?
Not until, like, 5 years in.
Yeah, you didn't realize that till like, no after idea. You had already done it.
No idea.
You were like, wait, you were like just looking at other people going, wait, so Norm MacDonald's people didn't call you?
Yeah,
like,
I didn't have any rules. No one set rules to me. They just said, well, you did this, so now you're going here. So, like, when I finished that tour, the last guy I opened with had been on the Sullivan Show when he was younger.
You're like the comedy Mr. Magoo. You didn't know where you were going.
At all.
Just along for the ride.
And he goes, you want to come with me for 3 weeks? I'm doing North Dakota. We'll leave here and we'll go do... So we did North Dakota, South Dakota, Wisconsin. And then when I came home, now, that's 15 weeks later, everybody's like, oh, you've been in hiding. No, I've been on the road. No, come on, man. I couldn't win. I said, no, I got rebooked. I go back in a couple months. I go back. So, yeah.
So, not to make fun, but how many people are like, what do you mean rebooked?
Hated me. Hated me.
Pariah. What is this rebooking of which you yeah, speak?
It's true.
Oh, you shit.
Yeah.
You are so.
And that's how it happened. So then when I went back the second time, she goes, you've obviously done this more than you say and you've done it. Can you co-headline? And I go, I don't know what that means. And she goes, you've done 30. Can you do 40? I go, I guess so. It's 10 more, right? And I had started to dip into the audience then. Mm-hmm. And I said, so I guess I can. And she goes, okay, so third tour, you'll be co-headlining. So when I came back the second time and said, I'm going to be co-headlining, even the manager of Yucks was like, oh, bullshit. You are you're not. And then he got the contract and the stuff and had to hand it to me. And he's like, what the hell?
That's a good career goal. You want to be so good at something so fast that people go, oh, bullshit.
Yeah. Just did not believe. Did not believe.
Mike, that's incredible.
Oh, yeah. It was so much fun.
So in those first few years, you know, when your first show was with Richard Jenny under this new thing, getting ready to go on the road, Richard Belzer, these guys, did they take the time to give you good advice or did you just sit back and quietly watch?
Those two did. Yeah. Jimmy Walker never spoke to me. Paula Poundstone fired me before I got on the stage. Yeah.
His shoulders are too broad. I have to have the broad shoulders on the show.
Bobcat Goldthwait fired me too. I don't work with locals. He did this, like turn his head. I don't work with locals. I brought my own opener. Yeah. And it was the guy that does SpongeBob, the voice of SpongeBob.
Oh,
that was his opener.
Tom Kenny?
Tom Kenny, yeah.
So, okay, whatever. Well, many years later, I'm headlining Edmonton. I'm headlining the club. Bobcat's the next week. He comes in early. You know, because I live there, so he can come stay at the condo early and do promo and stuff.
Yeah.
And he comes in, and Dino, the manager, tells him the story. You know, that Mike Dambran, way back when, Mike always tells the story. Bobcat asks if he could go up and do a spot, and he tells the story and apologizes to me on stage in front of a full room.
Oh,
sorry I did that, and look at that. I'm glad that you never listened to me and you kept doing what you were doing. That was a cool thing.
Well, while we take a second for Mike to pick that name up, don't forget to get tickets to come see him this weekend at Carlson Comedy Night. I'm just kidding. I'm just messing with you. I mean, I'm almost with these guys. I'm almost mad at you hearing this story.
That was good. No. My favorite one was when I was a kid, my comedy that I loved. Did you guys ever see? You're too young, I think.
Brian's not.
Fernwood Tonight with Martin Mull and Fred Willard. It was a fake talk show.
Yeah, I've seen. Yeah.
Sure.
And they were in a small town, yeah. So they couldn't get famous guests. So it was all these goofy, stupid. And me and my buddies would beg our parents every weekend, can we stay up? Can we watch at 11:30? Right?
Yeah.
That was our thing, man. We loved it. And I was playing Vancouver headlining, and they come back, and they go, Fred Willard's in the crowd, and he wants to know if he can talk to you afterwards. He came to see you, and I go, oh,
I found everything you did to be wildly offensive.
He was so amazingly nice to me. He sat like this, so nobody recognized him. He watched the show. He came back. He took pictures with me, and I told him. I go, you're one of the reasons I wanted to do this. I used to watch, and he goes, nobody watched that show. I go, I watched it every week, no fail.
That's amazing.
That was one of my favorite.
God rest his soul, right?
Yeah,
R.I.P.
Yeah. Come back around stories. So
That's wild, man.
That's great.
I mean, you've breathed some rarefied air, as we like to say on the show. You've gotten to do some things that other people haven't done.
Yeah.
Has there ever been, like, you're failing, at this point, we're talking like a few years in, you're failing upwards, but you're not failing. You're just like not knowing what you're doing.
Stumbling
totally. Forwards. Just stumbling.
Yeah.
What did you ever get to a point when you got to that point of realizing this doesn't happen to everybody else? Did you ever have to go back and like apologize and go, hey guys, sorry, I wasn't trying to be a dick?
Yes,
you did.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I got fired off the Michael Bolton tour because I didn't know what I was doing. I don't know how to open for a music act, a concert act. And he had 150 security guards, they were numbered. On the back.
Yeah. Well, it was also because you kept trying to brush his hair.
Yeah.
That was
He would fly in a plane until I was done. Then they'd take a break, and they'd radio the plane, they'd land, and he'd come in. Then he'd ride this float down the middle and sing Georgia on My Mind, right?
Michael Bolton.
Yeah. And there were these giant stairs, and they had a security guard on either side of the stairs. And when I came in, they kept you in a cage. because girls would come backstage screaming, looking for him. They lock you
again,
in a cage.
Again, same question. Michael Bolton?
Yes.
Michael Bolton has a cage for his comedian.
Yeah. So... They tell me you
throw peanuts at you after the show.
That's
he wouldn't let you out.
That's the least surprising thing you've said.
It's the most surprising thing I've ever heard.
The only rule was you cannot talk to the security guards. Don't do it. And like I said, I stumbled through everything, and I was like, I can. I can. So I sat down on the steps, and I was insistent on breaking these guys. That I was good, because they did this. They stood.
What'd you think you were at, like Buckingham Palace? You were trying to get the palace guard to laugh?
Well, I said I don't need them. It's me, right? He needs them. Yeah, I don't need them. And I'm in my hometown, but I don't need them. And so I sat down on the steps and I looked at them and I said, look, you be time, you be love, I'll be tenderness. Let's do this. And they both broke down laughing and the crowd went crazy. And I said, good night. And when I came back, she had my check and she was tapping on the table. She goes, walk out of this building and don't ever come back. And that was at the War Memorial.
And Michael Bolton was back there going, get him out! He's radioing from the plane.
With his manager with the high boots and the scarf and the hair and the, get out! Don't ever come back.
Okay, tell me the truth. You're on the Michael Bolton tour. Yeah. What are they paying the comedian for that?
$400 for 20 minutes.
$400 to open for Michael Bolton.
He's probably making... 87
30 80? Grand that night probably.
Yeah, but 87 money, $400, that was, it's like a grand now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Comedy business kids.
That's what he paid. Springer paid $700 for 20 minutes. Howie Mandel paid $400 for 20 minutes. Same thing.
Hey,
that's what we got.
Well, folks.
What happened?
I'm just making sure. Is our sound coming through okay, Glenn?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Just making sure my computer just flashed something. I got a little worried. Sorry, guys.
Oh.
He's easily distracted.
I am, because like I'm used to running the show, but now I got a guy who's really good back there running it.
I know.
And so now I'm like, I feel useless. I see things. He's already on it.
That guy was yelling. He thought like it we're was in a, NASA. He's a pro.
He's like, 5, 4.
Yeah, I know. 15. Mics are open.
It's pretty amazing.
That was good.
Yeah. I can't wait till Gracie's old enough for me to hire her. So are you going to be... moving back to Rochester, that's what everybody wants to know.
We have to do this paperwork for her to prove that she's a dual citizen, even though she was born a dual citizen. Mm-hmm. It's $1,500 to file. If you file it yourself and make a mistake, they keep the filing fee. So they tell you to get a lawyer to guarantee it goes through.
Yep.
Lawyer's $3,500. So it's $5,000 to get this piece of paper. So
I might be able to help you out on that. I know a guy.
Do you know a guy?
I know a guy. We'll talk later.
All right. Is it a wrestler that pretends he's a lawyer?
Yeah. It's actually...
I don't need that.
It's actually Mike Rotundo.
Yeah, I was going to say IRS.
It's not going to help me at all.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
I'm bringing an IRS. He's got a suspender.
That would not help me. So that's what we're doing. And then the paperwork takes six months to 2 years.
Oh, boy.
And then you got to stay in the country until it comes through. So that's where we're at right now.
Mm. Amazing. Amazing. So there's a chance... There's a chance.
What you're saying is there's a chance.
If it's not here, we'll be in Ontario. But so we're leaving Alberta.
Are we allowed to petition the government to not allow you guys back? Is there anywhere we can send emails?
Everywhere.
Is it like applying for your FCC license?
Send them right to my ex-wife. She was the big cock block to begin with. So
here's what we learned from Mike Dammer today. We've learned that you cannot know what you're doing in comedy and still be successful.
That's right.
You can screw around with security guards and get fired from Michael Bolton's tour and still get to play the Carlson.
And the check still clears.
And the check still clears.
And they let you out of the cage.
That's right.
They shouldn't have let you out of that cage. You should have, honest to God, they should have left you there. What city was it in?
Here. It was War Memorial.
Okay.
Mark Ippolito, if you're watching, Cage in the Green Room.
That's for Brian this weekend, please.
We should add.
That was one I had to apologize for. I apologize for that.
Now say sorry to Mr. Bolton for talking to his security.
No, and you know what happened years later? I'm in Jersey, and the radio show there would have both comedy clubs have the comedians in, which was a great idea. They'd promo both clubs, and the comics would play off each other.
Right.
And I was in there with John Panette, and I had never met John before. Just a great guy. And
what a weird idea.
I know, but it works so well, and both clubs were jammed all the time. And John's like, why is your name familiar to me? And I'm like, I don't know. We've never met. And I go, and I'm nowhere close to where you are.
Were you in the cage with Michael Bolton?
He goes, Michael Bolton? He says, Michael Bolton, I'm the one that took your place. That's who was my first big tour. My first big tour was opening for Michael Bolton. I got fired and he got the gig.
So you launched John Panette. You're taking credit for John Panette's career?
No, he got the gig. He got the gig because they wouldn't go through the guy that gave me the gig. They wouldn't go through him again because of me. They went to another agency and John got the gig.
So we learned that you've launched John Panette's career.
And killed the career of your agent.
We've learned that you've shown Bobcat Goldthwait what's what.
Someday I'll tell you the Cinderella Man story.
Oh, tell me the Cinderella Man story. I got time. I'm sitting back.
My buddy had the part that, what's the guy's name that was his trainer? I see his face.
That's the Russell Crowe movie, right?
Yes. Yeah.
I didn't see it.
All right, the guy that was his trainer, my buddy had the role originally.
Okay.
He had a brain aneurysm. But to learn the role, he was working with me. He goes, I need a New York accent, whatever. I'm going to film you, and I'm just going to do your voice. He says, I'm going to do your voice. Do you mind?
Yeah.
In my own way, but I'll do my voice, or your voice. Okay. Well, he has a brain aneurysm, and they make him an extra in the movie. He couldn't do the part.
Oh,
they hand it to this next guy. And this next guy had the film clips and different things of what he had learned of the accent or whatever to do the role. So if you close your eyes and watch that trainer, he's doing me. It's bizarre and it's scary. You close your eyes and listen to the guy. He's doing me.
That's incredible.
Did you get that on your IMDb?
No.
Did you try? No.
The inspiration for the trainer in Cinderella.
Inspiration for
Man.
A trainer.
It's the funniest thing to me in the world, but yeah, they filmed me in Hamilton. They filmed all my shows. And
then this guy just watched your stand-up.
Watched like 10 minutes of me doing and just grabbed it. Paul Giamatti.
You're telling me Paul Giamatti.
Watch
Academy
a movie.
Academy Award-winning actor Paul Giamatti.
You watch the movie.
Emmy
close
Award-winning,
your eyes,
too.
Does a mean Mike Dambra.
does Mike Dambra.
Okay. So, again, John Panette's career. Bobcat Goldthwait is a hack, and Mike showed him what's up.
Yeah, you're
and,
not a hack.
Paul Giamatti would be nowhere if he didn't
He's
imitate.
Not a hack.
Hey, if he didn't imitate Mike Dambra in Cinderella Man. Yeah. Oh, I love you so much.
Telling you, it was 30... you know, Gracie talks about it and always asks, when we're on the road, she always asks about stories, old stories. And, you know, I wouldn't trade it for the world. It's just the things we've done and the things I've done or seen or whatever. I wouldn't trade it for the world.
Well, let's do this then. Let's think back for a minute. Let's take a second. We're in a way, this is almost a retrospective of your career. You could listen back to this episode one day and realize how pompous you sound sometimes. But you can also... I'm just teasing you, Mike. I love you. I'm just teasing you.
All right,
you.
First off, nobody listens back to this fucking podcast.
I don't think that's accurate. I don't think that's accurate.
We don't.
How dare you? I know we don't. No, what I'm asking you is, if you can think back over your career, there's got to be one moment that you were super proud of. There has to be one moment that just will always be, like, sum up your comedy career to you. Tell the audience what it is.
I don't think so.
Come on.
Maybe the first time my parents came to see me, like that, because my father hated what I did. He would hide behind a pole and look out.
Yeah, we've talked about your dad not liking you doing comedy.
And he would stand at the
merch. You quit your job just out of nowhere to do it. He didn't like that, right?
He'd stand at the merch table and shake people's hands and apologize for my language. That's what he'd do.
My dad.
I'm with Bobcat Goldthwait on this kid. I don't really care for this.
At the
material.
Old Comics Cafe, he'd stand there. I didn't teach him to talk that way. I'm
my
sorry.
My dad said the
Thank
same thing about me
up.
At Little League games.
Yeah.
swing and a miss.
So maybe that.
I like to apologize, everybody.
Maybe them seeing me the first time on TV or something. I don't know.
Really? There's nothing that just in your own mind makes you happy about your career?
It makes me happy that I still get to do it.
Okay.
Like, I still get to do a full schedule. I still get to have a full schedule at my age. I'm happy with that.
Yeah, man. You are definitely an original, Mike. And I apologize for busting your balls today. You know it's all out of love.
You always bust my balls. Fucking DeCrosta writes a joke last night about... DeCrosta is the only guy that could get away with writing a joke about me putting my hand up my 11-year-old's ass, and everybody laughs at it.
It was the funniest thing I've ever seen.
It was.
I wish I could pop that picture up right now. I don't have it loaded into the system. But there's a photograph that Mark Ippolito took in the green room of, like, you, myself, Sky Sands,
yeah,
Gracie, and him. We were all just back there talking.
Yeah.
And the picture, you very much look like a ventriloquist to me with Gracie, or with Gracie as, like, your little ventriloquist puppet. Me. And John DeCrosta did it, and I about cried laughing.
Me too. And I'm like, he's the only guy that can get away with doing a joke about me basically putting my hand up my daughter's ass.
Yeah. I actually was trying to come up with, like, the act for you. I was like, boy, Gracie, it sure was a long ride from Edmonton.
First off.
How long was it, Dad? It was about as long as two of Brian's jokes. Hey, everybody. Oh my
God. Like, I was going to have a puppet. I'd use wheels.
Oh.
He can't feel my hand. Be way better.
The chair's kind of heavy, though.
Yeah, but I could wiggle my fingers and not cause damage.
Yeah. Weird things happen, too.
Yeah.
Like, you pull on the spine. Arm shoots out.
Yeah, let's wrap this up.
Mike Danver this weekend, everybody here at Comedy the Carlson. We're going to be back in just a second with Stand Up News with Ross. Mike, I love you, pal.
Love you, too, buddy.
All right.
Thank you.
We'll be right back with Ross.
Twitter and Instagram at CarlsonCast. You can listen anytime on iTunes, Google Play, and we're now available on Spotify. You should also check out an amazing app called Laughable. And on the Laughable app, you can connect to your favorite comedians in a way you never thought you could before. Download it in the App Store and visit CarlsonCast.com for information on more shows. And don't be a jerk. Rate and review.
Hey, everybody. This is one of those segments we haven't been able to do for a while, so I'm super excited right now. It is time for Stand Up News with Ross Johnson.
There's so much going on.
Rosser, what's happening? Tell me more.
At least there was weeks ago.
Weeks ago. Look, come back in a few weeks. You'll get today's news. Mm-hmm. That's how it works.
Yeah.
So I think this is since we were last on the air. Ellen DeGeneres announced, I think, May 12th, that she's leaving her show next year, her very popular show. And already people are lining up to be the new host.
She wanted to devote more time to abusing her house staff instead of the work staff.
Well, that's it. I mean, you know. poor Rosa.
She's getting
her boxing moves going.
She's going to stop
that
doing
was possibly
this.
Racist, by the way. Her house is not, Rosa is not, you know, it's just, that you're, just happens just to be
gonna,
the name of her, you know, one of her mm-hmm. housekeepers.
You're just going to dance on this? I was going to let you get past it. I was just going to try to gloss over it, but here you go.
He's almost Canadian in his rate of apology.
That's true.
Ross never misses a chance to apologize awkwardly. It's amazing. So she's stepping down.
She's stepping down.
Okay. And where can another blonde-headed individual apply for this job?
Well, so E! Online had a list of they talked to, which is still a thing, it turns out. They had talked to a bunch of industry insiders about.
Did you say E! Online?
E! Online. Shit you not. They it's 1999 all over again up in here. So they had they had talked to some industry insiders, and they had a list of some people who were in the running, maybe top contenders.
All right.
To replace her on the show. Number one is Brian Ball.
Is
yeah,
not.
Yeah. I got a very sweary email.
Yeah.
From, I assume it was from Ellen.
Sure. He can wing an ashtray at a PA like nobody's business.
Yeah. That was one of the skills, yeah.
No, let me tell you something. If it's being abusive to the staff, call me up.
That's video. And you can kind of dance.
Kinda. Yeah.
Shockingly well for your stature.
Let me tell you something. I'm going to get winded. We're canceling the dance thing. You put me on Ellen's show, there's no more dancing.
Episode one.
You know, episode one, no more dancing. It's going to be like that town in Footloose when I'm in charge. So it'll be refreshing.
I love that. So some of the contenders, they had suggested Kelly Clarkson.
Doesn't Charity have a talk show?
Well, so Kelly Clarkson's show is now going to... So the Ellen DeGeneres show is still presumably going to exist, but Kelly Clarkson is actually taking over Ellen DeGeneres' show's time slot next year. So that's a weird...
So she did replace her?
She kind of already...
She's like, what do I need your set for?
Look, the reporters at E! Online are not... You know, I mean... These people are not getting paid a lot.
I mean, frankly, Chelsea Handler is too big for that network now, so...
Basically. Tiffany Haddish is another one they suggested.
Okay.
And she had sort of mentioned that she's like, yeah, I would do that, sure. Drew Barrymore, she's got her talk her yeah. daytime show has been a surprising
and,
success.
Yeah, shockingly not horrible. Right, I had to watch it a while ago, and it was not bad.
Do you
yeah.
love how he said, I had to? What situation were you in?
I was in a waiting...
Hold on.
I was in a waiting room. You are captive to the television that is on.
You're not. You have a and cell phone. Fine. You have an iPhone.
Yeah. It was fine, though.
You can watch whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
But he chose. He was,
didn't, I
was
didn't
not
have, full. I didn't have
I would like the record to state that Brian loves the Drew Barrymore show.
I did
it
not,
is his favorite. He watches it every day.
I did not have earbuds.
Go ahead, Ross.
I, do not have,
I don't own earbuds.
I didn't have them with me.
I don't own Ross. Headphones, so I can't watch anything else but yeah. what's right in front of me. Tamron Hall is one they had mentioned. Lizzo, that was an interesting one. I guess when she was on the Guest Needs No Introduction thing with David Letterman, people were like, wow, she's pretty good. She could
Lizzo
be a
was great.
Yeah, Lizzo was great. Miley Cyrus, Ellie Wong, James Corden. The last one they mentioned, which
you
I thought
you think James Corden would be a good move for him to go to daytime?
I don't know.
Think he'd do that.
Yeah.
Would you like a James Corden lookalike, maybe? Call me up.
You just need to get an accent coach.
No, no, just a lookalike.
Just a pudgy little guy. Can you sing in a car?
Yeah, I do it all the time.
All right. And the last one they mentioned, which I thought was interesting, I sort of like this idea, is Kate McKinnon, who may or may not be ending her Saturday Night Live run.
It's not a bad show.
You know what? I take Haddish, number one pick.
Yeah.
Second pick, maybe Corden. Get him off of late night. Get somebody good on late night. His show stinks. Put him on daytime where he belongs with his carpool karaoke.
There
and
goes
that stuff.
Your James Corden spot that I had all lined up for you.
Well. Yeah. He's just built for daytime. Move that dude to daytime, and there you go. All right, next story.
All right. So, Little Cat Williams news. This is not – it's been a while.
Are you calling him Little Cat Williams, or are you just saying there's a little bit of news about Cat Williams?
I'm saying both. Both, yeah. Both those things. Yeah.
All right.
He's come out from the – if you're a longtime viewer of the show, you know that he's come out from behind the
– Get out of the grocery store.
Finally, we're happy to hear. So, he is – so this is – Not the most exciting Cat Williams news we've ever had, but I'm always excited for a glimpse of Cat Williams. June 11th, he's going to be appearing as a vampire in Meet the Blacks 2. It's the sequel to Meet the Blacks. It's technically The House Next Door, Meet the Blacks 2. So
okay.
he will play a vampire.
His character's name is Vampire?
Probably. Yeah, I mean, you got to.
Number 4. The little one.
Cat Williams gets top billing as a vampire.
His name is The Little Vampire.
I would like to see that movie, The Littlest Vampire, starring Cat Williams. I'd watch that.
So look for that June 11th. You want a little glimpse of Cat Williams?
I'd watch it.
He's been keeping quiet lately, so that's good news. Times Square, just this past week, we've talked a couple times about some of the comedy clubs coming back, like the Carlton, which of course has come back big time. What the Carlson does not have is a political luminary like Chuck Schumer.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Naked Cowboy.
Okay.
Oh, Naked Cowboy. How's he doing?
What is Chuck Schumer doing that's so great?
So Chuck Schumer went to Caroline's. He had supported the Save Our Stages Act, which was like the
9 months ago, right, when nobody opened, nobody was allowed to do anything.
He did it. There's actually video of this.
I'm gonna try not to get mad at this because I got a lot of feelings here.
Was
Go
he
ahead.
Heckling?
He did. No, he did like a bit. He did a bit about somebody's shoplifting peaches, and then, but it wasn't actually peaches, it was peas. I mean, it was like a, it was.
Was
a
he
real...
trying to do that bit from Archie Bunker with like the can of clinged peaches?
Something like
that. It dented the Fender.
No, it was like somebody. Yeah, anyway, just you can watch the video, but it's not great. But you have feelings.
Well, I mean, the Save Our Stages stuff. You know, we are not at full capacity here at the Carlson yet. Mm. We are still running at 150. People per show, and there are some comics who've requested fully vaccinated, like showing proof of being vaccinated before they'll perform.
Okay.
And we can have up to like 250 people if we do that.
Okay.
But the rules are still pretty tight on live performances, and I guess I get it, but like we had this coalition of partnering states, which are like Massachusetts and New Jersey, and they're both at full capacity for all this stuff.
Yeah.
And we're all still sitting here going, I thought you were going to save New York. I thought you were going to try to like do something good for you know these clubs downstate, and obviously hopefully it would trickle upstate a little bit.
Yeah.
But so far nobody's at full capacity. I don't know what New York State is doing.
And it's
what's the deal with that?
It's not only tight restrictions, they're very ambiguous and confusing, and it's just place by place, and it's just...
The restrictions are a lot like Brian's glasses.
Yeah, they're
ambiguous
tight.
Ambiguous and confusing.
They're tight and confusing, yeah.
Creepy and not
allowed No one knows what to make of them.
Creepy and not allowed near a school, I don't know. Yeah.
Nobody wants to look at them too closely to figure it out either, so yeah. It's like...
An enigma.
Yeah.
Do me a favor. Move that little Carlson logo over his face. I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
So Chuck Schumer.
He started
not,
to do it.
Chuck Schumer is not invited, is what I'm hearing.
No.
No, I don't. I mean, I don't have that kind of like political beef. I just want to know what they're doing with this. Yeah. Like, how are these other states open?
I mean, the way this the way I came to this story was funny because it was all like Fox News and the Daily. They were like, Chuck Schumer bombs on stage, and it wasn't anything about the plan or anything. And it was, I mean, he's an old politician who got.
You think
up on
that material would have killed on the Senate floor?
Well, that's maybe.
Please.
I don't know. Okay, finally, so it's a
he's telling jokes. How about we let us put some move the tables a little closer together? You're telling jokes. All right. Good. I'm so annoyed.
Vinny's working up a whole routine about Chuck Schumer now.
I had a thing about peaches.
Peaches.
All right, what else you got?
Okay, so it's a weird year for the Emmys, obviously, with TV sort of up and down, in and out, shows popping in. But last-minute contender, so the Emmy nominations are going to be coming out coming out relatively soon. The deadline for getting shows in has just passed. So the big buzz this year is last minute. I guess like they just got it in within the, like a week to go before the Emmy nominations.
You gonna tell us?
Is Hacks?
Hacks.
Gene Smart. Yeah, Gene Smart's got buzz for everything this year.
Really? What else was she in?
Well, she missed out for Watchmen last year, and she was a favorite last year for Watchmen. But she's in Mare of Easttown and Hacks. So she's there's buzz for her in like a couple different categories.
Joe, did you submit us for the Emmys? Like we told you to?
Yeah, Shoeless, did you send in our submission tapes for the Emmys?
Absolutely not.
Because that deadline passed, you know?
Yeah.
Okay.
I gave you one job, Joe.
Nope. I signed you up for funniest person contest, though.
Oh, good.
Oh, good.
Good. One of us might be a thousandaire.
Almost as good.
You know, way to go, Joe. Bringing everything full circle. I love that.
It's the complete lack of remorse that's frustrating, Joe.
That's what hurts the most.
Yeah. I'm going to say something. The comedy at the Carlson cast, not a tight ship.
Might be why we're not getting the Emmy.
Might be.
It's more of a leaky skiff.
Are you guys watching Hacks? Have you seen Hacks?
I have not seen one episode yet. I'm going to end up binging it, so I'm just waiting for it to finish, and then I'm going to hop in.
I think it's done like next week, so.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Yep.
Good.
It's great. And I learned that Hannah Einbinder, who's the other co-lead, is Lorraine Newman's daughter, which I didn't know that.
Really?
Yeah.
And that's the kind of thing that gets, blows my down to your bottoms, does it?
That's the news.
That's the news. Great.
We're going to start calling this Loose Celebrity Connections with Ross Johnson.
Yeah. Well, I guess that is this week's episode of the Comedy at the Carlson cast. Thanks for joining us. Big thanks to the new host of the Funniest Person Roster Contest, Billy Moran, for joining us. Thanks to Brian and Ross for being adequate as usual. My little buddy Shoeless Joe, thank you. And to our pal Glenn, who's running the board back there. Great job today. And also to Mike Dambra. I love you, pal. Go see him this weekend. You are not going to regret it. There are tickets on sale now. Visit CarlsonComedy.com, and we hope to see you at a show. Thank you. Good night, everybody.